he has charged alone in my sin. Ashamed to admit that I needed a friend, a prisoner of pain, blinded by sin. Those chains had me bound. But that's when Jesus stepped forth in my place, taking the shame and all my disgrace. He cried, "It is finished," as he bowed his face. When mercy came down,
mercy came down to show me love, cover my sin with Calvary's blood, pleaded my case before the judge. When mercy came down, now I am pardoned, free and saved. I've been redeemed by amazing grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found, for mercy came down.
That old account was settled in prayer at an old-fashioned altar. God met me there. He washed all my sin and made me an heir to a heavenly crown. Now Satan may try to bring up my past, but I'm washed in the blood. My soul is at rest. Forgiveness was mine the moment I asked.
When mercy came down, mercy came down to show me love, cover my sin with Calvary's blood, pleaded my case before the judge. When mercy came down, now I am pardoned, free and saved. I've been redeemed by amazing grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found, for mercy came down. Mercy came down to show me love, cover my sin with Calvary's blood, pleaded my case before the judge. When mercy came down, now I am pardoned, free and saved. I've been redeemed by amazing grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found, for mercy came down, mercy came down, mercy came down.
Amen. Thank you, young people. Appreciate that. Take your Bibles, please, tonight. We're going to be in Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter 2 this evening in your Bibles. We're going to look at one verse tonight. Luke chapter number 2. And looking at the last verse, number 52, as you find that, would you stand to your feet as we open up our Bibles tonight and look at the Word of God. Thank you, young people, for participating with the singing and playing and quoting all the scripture verses. A lot of work from the teachers to help to get all the students to memorize all that, to be ready for it, and a lot of work from the students as well. Thank you, parents, for your investment and your children in our schools. We're going to talk about that a little bit more tonight as well, but I appreciate you being here tonight on this Sunday evening. Luke chapter 2, verse number 52, and one verse, and I'll read it first and you to follow along. Luke chapter 2, verse number 52, the Bible says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Would you read that with me, please? Ready? Begin. "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the night, and thank you for this evening and the blessing it's already been tonight. And I pray that you continue to use this night. And thank you for our schools and for our church, for a blessing of this day of people laboring and serving to tell souls about Christ and to preach your word and to lift you up. And I pray that that would be the case again tonight. We pray in your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we look at the scripture verse tonight, I want to look at one verse and really just talk about our schools tonight. We don't do this often, but we have our school nights throughout the school year. Usually about once a month we have our school nights, and I want to talk about our Christian school this evening. And in some ways this doesn't apply to everyone, but in other ways it does. And so I want to take tonight and talk about our schools. And our schools are a blessing. Amen. And I graduated from a Christian school. I actually went to public school for my first couple years of schooling, and then we did kind of like a homeschool, church school hybrid for the first year when our school was starting up, and then graduated from a Christian school, from ACE, same curriculum that our young people do. And so I believe in Christian education wholeheartedly, and Christian education is important for our young people, not just to get an education, but to learn Bible that backs up that education. There's so much of education today that goes against the Bible. That's not real learning, all right? That's learning a lie. And we have an education that backs learning, science, math, English, and all that goes with the Word of God. And that's what a true education is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Another verse that says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And without God, there is no real knowledge and learning there. And we're getting our kids an opportunity to get a good education. I should say this, a great education, along with learning the Bible. And those two really go hand in hand, and it's important. So on the school night, I want to take some time tonight and talk about our Christian school this evening and what a blessing it is to us. We have one of our kids in school, a couple that are heading that way. Miss Caitlin has her hands full. If you saw this class up here, I think all but one is in your classroom. Is that right? And Miss Caitlin against eight children. Sometimes the kids win. Sometimes Miss Caitlin wins. No, the teacher, you make sure that you get the upper hand on that one or they'll take over quickly. And we have a great time in our schools. I enjoy getting to be part of it. Not as much as there had been in previous times, but I get to see the kids in the morning sometimes and do the opener and be with them in chapel time. That's always an exciting time in our school. So I want to take some time tonight and to kind of introduce to what our school is. For some that maybe you are aware of what our school is or maybe not, but many people here are involved in our school on a weekly basis. And I want to encourage you with a couple of those things. I want to ask, first of all, our staff, if you would stand up, our school paid staff, if you would stand up for a moment. And I want to introduce, we have Ms. Hope Smith over here as our school administrator, and she is signing as she is, women can do two things at once, men can't. We have to stop and focus on one thing. So thank you, Ms. Hope. And then we have Brother Seth, our school principal, over here. And then we have Ms. Caitlin. She is our kindergarten first grade teacher, and we have Miss Sophia Brown over here, one of our teachers as well. And we are thankful for our school staff, and that's really where our school staff begins. Because with that, that's not enough to really staff our school completely, or else the kids are running wild and we're trying to figure out what's going on there. On top of that, we have volunteer staff. So if you help in our school as part of our volunteer staff in any way, and if you don't stand up, I've got to call you out. So you might as well stand up right now. If you volunteer and help in any way on a regular or somewhat regular basis, would you stand to your feet? One, two, three. Would you help me? There's a lot of people that help on a weekly, biweekly, or monthly basis. Some that maybe aren't able to stand up. And we have a number of staff that comes to help volunteer the time for a morning or an afternoon. Come in during a lunchtime. Thank you. Maybe seated. I don't want to have you stand too long. And they'll come and help during a break time, during a lunchtime, help have the kids say their Bible memory verses. Ms. Hankey's coming back, students, so get your memory verses ready to say them to Ms. Hankey. And we have a number of staff that helps with that. I want to go through a few of those tonight. We have Brother Drew Brock is our athletic director and our basketball coach and working those boys into submission. And we have Ms. Samantha Brown over here as our volleyball coach. We have a few that come in. Ms. Stone that comes to help with our library on Tuesdays. I'm going to miss some, and I started to name people, and I'm probably going to miss some, so forgive me if I do. And a number that come in to help during the lunch times to watch the kids so the teachers can get a 30-minute break to eat their lunch and not answer 500 questions during their break time, because teachers don't really get breaks unless someone comes to take over for them for a few minutes. On top of that, we have our school curriculum that we teach our children, and it's an ACE curriculum, a Christian school curriculum. Again, I graduated from that. My wife did, Brother James, many of our staff did, and it's a great curriculum we've used for many years, I think for the whole length of our school time. But we also supplement that with some other electives. Brother Seth teaches a media class to our young people to learn about design, and they have some other computer classes to take as well. I'm not sure what they do in that class, But they do learn some computer things. They grab his camera and take off on occasion, at least. Miss Ariel Evans teaches our sign language class. And she comes in and teaches that. And we have our sign language class that's back here learning as Miss Angel teaches them and helps them along and learns with that. I started a Bible class with our juniors and seniors that we'll do our second semester each year with them and teach them a Bible class. So we have some electives that we do to supplement with the regular curriculums that we have. I probably missed some of that. Miss Ariel does some piano lessons for some of our students as well. Along with our school, we have a homeschool academy. And so for those that choose to homeschool their kids, they can be part of our homeschool academy, kind of under the umbrella of our school. They come to our chapel times, a part of our athletics and different things with the school as well. And so there's much that goes on between Sunday church and Wednesday evening and the next Sunday. There's a lot that happens here during the week, and much of that is by the efforts of many of you, by bringing your kids to school, by helping participate in some way. And I'll give you some thoughts about that as we get to the end of the lesson, the message tonight. Christian education. You've heard this said for many years before. Brother Evans said this for many years. Pastor Johnson did as well. Christian education doesn't cost. It pays. And I believe in that. It does cost to put your kids in our schools, a very small amount compared to Christian education or private school education. If you look around, extremely low compared to what you find for a private education. You may say, well, but public school is free. Let me ask you this. Free at what cost? To the point where you send your kids to school and they teach your kids things and say, we will not tell you what we're teaching your children. That is evil. That is wrong. That is not on my life when I send my kid to a place with the things that they're teaching them, and for sake of little ears here, to teach them what gender they are, where they came from, and who they are, without parents' acknowledgement or refusing to have a parent involved, that is evil and that is wrong. A Christian school, are we perfect? Not by any means. And I'm not trying to say that we're a bad school. We're not perfect because your kids are here as well. And you know your kids, teachers and all. But we're not a perfect school. I'm not trying to say that we are. But we're trying to raise our children to serve the Lord. We're trying to raise our children to be the next generation of leaders in our churches. We unashamedly teach our children to have a Christian education to serve God with their lives. Not every young person that graduates from our school is to go into full-time ministry. But I do believe that every young person, every adult as well for that case, should surrender your life to whatever God wants you to do. If you've never done that, young people or adults, I challenge you to surrender your life and say, God, whatever you want, whenever you want, wherever you want, my life is yours. And truly meaning that. But for our young people, as they grow up and get ready to prepare for college and life, we encourage them to go to Bible college and to say, God, if you want to take my life to use in full-time ministry, here I am. Either way, for those that don't go into full-time ministry, God has called every Christian to be a full-time Christian. And it's not, well, if I serve full-time in my life and I'm being paid by a church, then I serve God. But if I don't, I'm not involved. Our church would not function without the many people that go to work all week long and then come here on Sunday and drive buses, teach Sunday school classes, run the sound booth and usher. Our church would not function, would not survive without the backbone of our church that goes to work all week long and then takes your weekend to come soul winning, to invite people to the church to visit. That's a sacrifice because you believe that's God's will for your life. And that's God's commandment for us. And we train our young people to do God's will for their life. We do not have a perfect school, but we strive to give our kids the best Christian education and to continually improve on training your young people to serve the Lord. Because their lives are precious. And it's worth it. We don't have the biggest school. That's not our goal. But our goal is to develop the best product, if you will, to teach them and to point them closer to Christ. The verse that we looked at tonight was Luke 2:52, and Jesus Christ is our ultimate example. We're not trying to get kids to be like me or like somebody else, but to be more like Christ. That's our goal, families, right? That we would train our kids to be more like Jesus Christ, our perfect example. And Jesus, the Bible says in Luke 2:52, he increased. Think about that. As a 12-year-old boy, Jesus, when they found him there, they left him, came back, and he was at the temple hearing and asking questions. And when they came to the temple, and Jesus said, "Wist ye not, I must be about my Father's business." Jesus was subject unto his parents. He put himself under the authority of his earthly parents. Guess what? His parents were not perfect, and he put himself under their authority. Young person, that's a good challenge for you. No one has perfect parents or perfect children. But Jesus was subject unto them under their authority. And then the Bible says that Jesus, think about this. It's hard for me to fathom that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Son, grew. Think about that. He grew as any other child, yet without sin. All right? That differentiates you from Jesus Christ. All right? But the Bible says he increased in four areas. He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He grew up as a young man to prepare for his earthly ministry, which he would start at 30 years old. Understanding this, I say that for this reason, that Jesus Christ is the example that we have to follow, and it's the four examples that we give and areas that we give to raise our children up to serve the Lord. Let me say this before we go any further. The Christian school and the church is not here to raise your children, right? The Christian school and the church is not here to raise your children. We're here to help you. We're here to back up the home and the family. We're not the parents. We're not here to usurp your authority. We're here to help the parents, to point them in the same direction that you are, to point them closer to Christ. We're here to be a help and a support to the family and to the home. As we look at this tonight, I want to give you four areas about our Christian school. And again, many of you are involved in our schools in many ways, or your children were raised through our schools and our church and our youth group and have gone out all over the country in different areas. But these are the four areas, young people, I want to challenge you about, that you will grow in these four areas in your life. Because guess what? No young person has arrived. We have a massive graduating class this year. We have 5 students. And for our school, that's a large number of graduating students. And we're excited about that. But guess what, seniors? You have a lot of areas to grow in your life. There's a lot of things you don't know. There's a lot of things you're not fully prepared for that God wants to prepare you for right now. These are areas that each of us need to grow in these areas as well. If Jesus Christ had to grow and increase in these areas, well, so do you and I. And these are the areas we want to teach our young people to grow in. First of all is this, Jesus increased in wisdom. In wisdom. He increased and he grew mentally. He grew in wisdom. I read the verse earlier that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And to try to have wisdom without God is not wisdom. To try to learn without God is impossible. Because if God created all things and you take God out of that, well, how can you have learning there? How can you learn about science and math and English and those things and history without God, when God is woven all through our history and all through our creation? So you must have God to have knowledge and to have wisdom. That's why you cannot separate the Word of God from knowledge. They go hand in hand. So our goal is to teach our young people to grow mentally, to grow in wisdom, to grow academically. The Bible says in Proverbs 9:9, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." Our teacher's goal is to try to take your young person, to help them to grow in wisdom and in knowledge, to help them to get from that kindergarten, which is a fun age, to watch them to get to do their songs and their verses and all that, but to see them grow up. Why? Here's the thing. My goal is not to raise a child. Yes, it is, but I'm raising them to be a godly adult someday. You see the goal? My goal is to raise that child to live for God for the rest of their life. So you're looking at the end goal. You're not just looking at today. So we want to teach them to grow in wisdom, to grow mentally. The common misconception is that Christian schools lack academically because we teach the Bible. That couldn't be any further from the truth. That somehow that if you take the Bible out of it, now you get a better education. Do not listen to what the world tells you about knowledge when it comes to the Word of God. They don't know what they're talking about. That you say, well, if you're teaching the Bible, well, you're taking away some other area academically. Not a bit. There's a lot of things. I thought that I would understand my children's schoolwork longer. Did you ever think that? And you get your kids' schoolwork home and you're like, I should know. Ask your teacher. I don't know. I'm going to Google it and, you know, I'm going to try to figure it out, but I don't know it as good as I thought. But our kids are getting an excellent education. Not just a good education, an excellent education along with the Word of God. And we'll look at that here in a bit here. Our school does not lack academically. We excel academically. I'm not here to try to pat ourselves on the back. Not at all. But I'm trying to encourage you with our young people to encourage them to grow academically. Learning English and math and science and history. All those subjects that you love. Our young people, do you love math? You love it? Very much your favorite? It's because you're done with it. That's why you love it. You love it anyway. Great. But to grow academically. You say, but I don't like that subject. Guess what? In our school, we don't pass a young person to the next grade just because they're a year older. If they don't learn the subject, they don't move on. And until the teacher and the parents and help them to learn that subject and pass that test, they don't go any further. Now, we help our young people that may struggle with a subject or maybe have a learning struggle in that area. We'll help them with that. But we don't just pass a student along and just run them as sheep through the gates there. But we help our young people to teach them and to help them to grow mentally. Next, we learn that Jesus increased in wisdom, but also in stature. He grew not only mentally, but he grew physically. Our young people are growing up. You see our kids, you ever walk into church and you think, am I getting shorter or are they getting taller? You do that, right? And they're all getting taller around you. I also thought that I would be taller than my son longer, and I still deny that he's taller than me, but I probably have to concede in that area. But our kids are growing up physically. Have you noticed today that young people, all they want to do now is to sit in front of a screen and a video game? You notice that? They get the hunchbacked eyes like they've been, you know, that look like they've been in a cave and there's no pigmentation. I'm serious. It's a problem today. Kids that don't want to go outside, they don't want to play and work with their hands and do something physically. We have a problem with our country today, with our young people. I know every generation I talk to you, we went outside when it got light outside and we came back when it got dark. When the street lights came on, we came back in. That's not the generation we live in anymore. And we have to so much work at our kids for them to grow physically. The goal for most young people, I've said it before, is they want to be a YouTube sensation. That is a sad goal to have in your life. To grow physically. We tell our young men for many years, we teach our young men to be men. Unashamedly, that our young men would be men. Not apologizing for being a man and manly. Not being gross or rude, but to be a man. And they teach our young ladies to be a lady, to look like a lady, to act like a lady. In schools today, it is so confused. They're teaching little kids that the girl's a boy and a boy's a girl and giving them different names. It's a mess. It's a mess. They need to grow physically the way that God created them, and they would stay that way, growing physically. Jesus Christ, he grew up in a carpenter's home. Can you imagine carpentry in Jesus' time? No machinery. You did everything with your hands. That was tough work. Jesus grew physically in his home. We teach our young people to work. Work is a good thing, amen? It's not a bad thing. You teach them work. We give our kids chores. We teach them, you work. This is your church, your school. We're not here just to serve you. We do to an extent, but you're here to work and you're here to help as well. Our young people work around the church. I don't know if you know that. Without our young people working, we would not function in many ways in the big days and the projects that we do. Our young people help in many ways. Setting up, tearing down, cleaning up, working on projects. That's some practical ministry experience. Amen? And learning to work. To learning athletics. We are not here to train the next superstar volleyball player, basketball player. But we'd love to win. Amen? We enjoy that. If you're going to play something, you might as well try to win, right? Why go out there and try to lose? There's no point in that. We want to teach them to excel physically, to grow physically, to grow mentally, to grow physically. And then thirdly, to grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. In favor with God, to grow spiritually. This is really, you could bump this up to the front of the list, but because it's how the Bible put it out there. But spiritually, that's at the top of our list. We start every day, and we start our day with prayer. There used to be a day where schools all across America started in prayer. That's how they started. They'd learn from the Bibles. They'd say their pledges. Those things are not allowed in schools anymore. Somehow you're hurting someone else. We start with prayer, and we pledge to the flags. And then the kids read their scripture verses. They'll memorize. Our upper learning centers, second grade on up, they'll learn about 4 to 5 chapters of the Bible memorization each year. Anyone else learning that many Bible verses a year? I'm not. They're learning 4 or 5 chapters of Bible a year. They start with a Bible challenge each day, and we teach them from the passage they're learning what the scriptures mean. Our young people are learning verses. I don't know how many verses that I keep looking over here. You were here before. I don't know how many verses they learn. Maybe 8 or 10 verses every quarter, somewhere around there maybe. Our young kids are learning scripture verses. They can learn those things. You know that? Your kids are smart. And we're teaching them the Word of God. Our school unashamedly teaches the Bible to our young people. Our school, they start with our Bible time each day. We'll do our Bible pledges and our prayer and challenge, and they'll take 30 minutes to spend time in Bible and prayer to start their day. Because spiritually, that's the best thing they can learn throughout their day. If they could learn to have a walk with God, but maybe struggled academically in an area, I'd rather them learn the walk with God. Now, I want them to learn both. Don't get me wrong. You're not getting a free pass, kids, on that. But if they can learn anything, to walk with God and learn to find and do God's will for their life, that would be a success, wouldn't it? There's many people that have gone on to do much for God with very little to no education because they said, I just want to be used by God. We're teaching our young people to grow in favor with God in many areas, learning scripture verses and learning practical ministry application. Our young people are on buses, almost all of them every week. They're helping in classes. They're at soul winning times. As you see, they're singing and playing the piano. They're participating in the ministry. We teach our kids not just to serve God someday, but to serve God right now. Right now, as a young person, to be involved in your church right now and to grow spiritually. And then fourthly today, this evening, to grow in favor with God and man. To grow with man socially as well. To have good behavior. We teach our young people to be respectful. Amen? To be respectful, to say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. Now, it may not always be the case all the time, but we teach them to be respectful. To treat a lady properly. In our chapel times, we teach them good behaviors to have. Listen, as a church, we're helping to grow and to train the next generation. You say, well, I don't have kids in school. You're helping to teach and to train the next generation. Many of you work in a junior church, a children's church. You see these kids on a weekly basis. We're helping and teaching them to grow in the Lord. We're teaching them to have character. To have character, you do the work or there's a punishment. And there's a punishment. If you don't get the work done, there's a detention. There's something that happens to train them to have good character in their life. Why? Because someday they're going to have a job. And they're going to have a boss that's going to give them a task to do and say, when you have a task to do, I want you to get it done. And if you don't get the task done, the boss is going to say, see you later. It was nice knowing you. I'll find someone else that will get the job done. We're teaching them to have character, teaching them to work hard. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, not the way that they want to go. We have so much parenting today to where we ask the kids, well, what do you want to do today? What do you think about that? A 5-year-old doesn't know what they should be doing. They want to eat ice cream and candy and cookies all the time and stay up all night long. That's not what they should do. Maybe what we want to do, but we know we can't do that either. But as a parent, as a leader, as a grandparent, you're there to train them, to point them in the right direction for their life. Why? Because we're training our young people so that they would serve God for the rest of their lives. Not just to get a diploma and to move that tassel over and say, see you later, God, see you later, church. but they'd be involved in their church. I'm so encouraged by so many of our young people, as I mentioned, all across this country serving the Lord in a church every Sunday. That's a blessing. That's an encouragement to me. You may not see them all here, but they're all over the place serving the Lord. And you have a part in that work. How can you be a part of Shasta Baptist Schools? I'm glad that you asked. I'm going to give you a few points tonight how you can help. Number one, you can pray for our schools. You can pray. You say, I don't have a kid in the school or a grandkid in the school, and I don't have time to help. That's the next point. But you can pray for our schools. You say, well, it's not my kids, but we should care about the young person sitting next to you, right? The one sitting in the row in front of you. We should care about people as a church to know if someone's missing, whether it's one of our young people or one of our older folks, someone that's been sick. If someone's missing, we should care about them, and we should pray for them. Would you pray for our schools every day? Would you pray for our school, for our teachers? They need a lot of prayer. For our teachers, as we send our kids to them, and we go, they're in school for the day. For many of them, they have our kids longer during the day than we have them. Pray for them, right? We need to pray for them a lot. But pray for our teachers, praying for our students, for our young people, and then praying for our families. Pray for them by name. Pray for our students. Go through the church directory and pray for our school and our young people every day, that God would have his hand upon our school. Number two, how can you help in our schools? Get involved in the school. Volunteer. Now, there's a process. Not anyone can just show up to our schools. During the week, we lock the doors up completely. No one's getting in without ringing a doorbell or having a key, and we keep it safe and secure. That's how our school needs to be. Hence the camper out front over here, that we need to figure out who's got the camper there and what they're doing here. But we have to keep an eye on things, so it's not an open door policy. We keep it safe and secure, but we have volunteers that come in every single day. Every day that are coming to invest in our young people. Guess what? People that come in that don't have kids in our school or grandkids in our school, but they come because they want to invest in the next generation. What a worthy investment. Not everyone can do that, I understand. But if you can, talk to one of our school staff and say, could I volunteer? And if so, where could I volunteer? Now again, not everyone that volunteers can we accept. You understand that, working with young people and different things, but we're very careful with that. But I want to encourage you to volunteer to help. Number three, look into putting your kids in our schools if they're not already. I'm not saying everyone has to. I'm not going to blacklist you because you don't. But look into putting your kids in our Christian school. Maybe there's a better Christian school out there, but again, we teach the Bible. Our school and our church align together with beliefs. And that's how it should be, with the home. They all should go together. I can't think of a better school to put my children in, and if so, that's where I'd put them. But I put them here because I believe in Shasta Baptist Schools and what we teach and what we practice and what we do. Inquire with our teachers about putting your kids in our school. See Brother Seth and Miss Hope about that. Number four, this is for our children. Apply yourself in school. Apply yourself. You can come to school brain dead and you're going to have a rough day. And you could try to do that all the way to graduation, and you're going to have a rough road all the way there. Apply yourself, young person. You say, I don't like the subject. Guess what? Life is not about what you like and you don't like. Can I get an amen on that? I didn't wake up today thinking, oh, here's what I want to do. It's not about like and not like. Don't live by feelings and emotions. Here's the task that I need to do that's right. We just need to get it done. Young person, apply yourself. Don't take a Christian education like many have and to take it and to throw it away to go live for the world. How sad would that be? How sad would it be to take the investment given to you by your family, your church, and your school and to throw that investment away? Apply yourself. Follow God's word and God's will for your life. That's our desire for you young people, that you would do the will of God for your life. I'm not here to tell any young person what God's will is for your life. I can tell you what the Bible says, to the best of my knowledge, but I can't tell you God's will for your life. That's between you and your parents and God. You want to do God's will for your life. You do not want to miss God's will for your life. It's the best ever. It's the best to be in the middle of God's will, wherever that is, to be faithful to God and serving God wherever God puts you. And then number five today is this, work together to help our young people to live for God. I mentioned it already, but as a team, working and praying and striving together, from our Sunday school classes to our church service leaders to just sitting near someone in church, to invest in that young person sitting in front of you, to ask them their name, how's school going? You don't realize how much of an influence you are. Our young people that grow up in our school, some of the biggest influences in their lives was that senior saint citizen that took an afternoon or a morning to come and teach them. Am I telling you the truth? Brother Seth could tell me right now all the things that those that have passed away now taught him in school. The things that they taught him. Brother McBride, what was it? Don't be impulsive. He's in heaven now. That sticks with a young person. Now the principal of our school, right? There's things that you can teach these young people just by sitting in church, spending time around them, not taking the place of a parent, but investing in their life. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. The next generation of Shasta Baptist Church is sitting in the room right now, right? Scary enough, right? The next teachers, and that's why they're serving in so many areas. The next sound booth workers and ushers, and that's why we get involved now. I don't want to wait till someone is gone to where we go, oh no, we need to train the next generation. It needs to happen now. Right now, young person, you better be ready because we need you. The Lord needs you in His work. The song tonight was Onward Christian Soldiers and a Volunteer for Jesus. Hey, we're in a battle. We're in a battle, and it's a spiritual battle. And we need every person in that battle to do God's will for their life. We have a great Christian school. Is it perfect? No, it's not. There's things that we're working on and striving to increase and to work at. But we have a great Christian school because there's a lot of investment that you've given and because the Bible is the center of what we do here on a daily basis. As we have this open house night, I just want to take some time to just encourage our families to keep going for the Lord, to encourage our young people to keep going for the Lord, and to encourage you as a church to train up this next generation, to help to teach and train them to keep serving the Lord. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please, tonight.